Wednesday, that means Wintrust Business Lunch, and Terry Savage join us. You want to join us, too? The number is 312-981-7200. I'm John Williams. We're produced by Pete Zimmerman. We'll do this until 1 o'clock, and for almost 35 minutes now, all the way until around 12:45, Terry will be our guest. The number is 312-981-7200. You can text or call that number, and you can always find Terry's articles at terrysavage.com. Welcome back, Terry. Happy Wednesday.
Yep, I love Wednesdays.
You know, it's interesting that the markets continue to do very well, even as the government seems to be in such turmoil. How do you explain that, Terry?
Well, the market's kind of treading water right now. I think we just reported on the volatility. But what a great newscast preceding this. Thank you very much for that newscast with all kinds of interesting financial tips. And one of them is that the VIX, the volatility index, is down a bit. The market's kind of holding its breath. On the plus side, stimulus money is coming. Maybe more stimulus money is coming. And a vaccine is coming. And corporate earnings are looking okay. Of course, on the minus side is, wait a minute, what if this impeachment process derails Biden's ability to push more money into the economy? All of a sudden, the market's cheering more money because that obviously proved to help stocks, not necessarily all the people that need the money. But so there's a kind of a what's happening in our world feel to the stock market today. And I think the tape is going slowly. You know, everybody's sort of waiting to see how this works out, the impeachment process, I think.
Yesterday, Terry, we had an accountant on, actually a tax lawyer. We were talking a little bit about what this means now that we've turned the corner. People are thinking about the taxes they paid last year and the taxes they're going to pay this year, the forms they've got to fill out. They had questions like, will a stimulus count as income? Does my unemployment benefit count as income? We've talked about those things before, but I think this is going to be a challenging year for people to fill out their tax forms and to know what they're doing.
Actually, you didn't even touch on the most interesting part of the tax forms, but let's just keep this in mind. Your stimulus is not income. Unemployment benefits are income. And you're going to get a 1099-G, assuming most of our audience is in Illinois, but if you're in Indiana or somewhere else, Wisconsin, from the state, letting you know what you owe taxes on. Many people chose to have some withholdings taken out of their unemployment benefits.
Right.
You probably not owe a lot. But the big story is line 30. It's one of those TV things, get it now. And that is the line on which you will file if you were entitled to receive a stimulus, not only this year's $600, but the original one, which you may have been passed over by because you were declared a dependent on someone else's return, didn't file a return because you thought you didn't have enough income to qualify. Line 30, you can claim the refundable credit for the original stimulus of $1,200, this year's $600, as long as you're not a dependent on anyone else's return for 2020. Your income falls under the level of 75,000 individual and 150,000 on a joint return. You can claim that as a credit, and you'll put your direct deposit information in, and it will come directly deposited to a bank account. So that's going to be a lot of people who are below the income level required to file and just don't have enough income to file. I used to know those numbers by heart, but they're pretty low. Those people will file this year, too, because it's a refundable credit. It doesn't just go against taxes you owe. It comes back to you. So a lot of people will need to file that don't file, and they will be able to do so online. They should online because they could put in their direct deposit. So to all those people, make sure you have a bank account. That's the fastest way to get your stimulus.
Yeah.
There are many community banks that offer free checking to seniors and to other low-income people. I should try and do the research and find out who. But beyond that, we should also file online, and pretty soon the IRS will be setting up help. TurboTax offers free help always to those low-income people that file simple returns. So as the tax season comes, I'll do more on that.
Line 30. Okay, we've got that. That's all good information. It's 12:15, 312-981-7200. Most of our lines are busy right now. We'll start to clear them, and Terry will answer some of your questions. She also has something to say about inflation, and for that matter, prices at the pump. Nationally syndicated financial columnist Terry Savage is on a phone line. Her website is terrysavage.com. I'm also looking at usnews.com. U.S. News and World Report with Money Magazine have a list of the 10 best personal finance podcasts, and among them is Terry Savage's 10 best personal finance podcasts in America. They say Friends Talk Money, your podcast, Terry, with two others, is a must listen for anyone looking to make smart money decisions and plan for retirement on their terms. Props to you, my friend.
I know you're wondering what I do in my spare time. If you go to terrysavage.com in the top right, one of those little four boxes, it has a link to the podcast, which I do with Pam Kruger, who created Wealth Ramp. I adore her. The Wealth Ramp is that service that matches you up. It's match.com for fiduciary, fee-only financial advisors that Pam has personally vetted. So I always like to recommend that as a way to find a good financial advisor. And with Rich Eisenberg, who is a host of PBS Next Avenue, their website for those over 50. So we have a good time talking. We don't always agree, but we have a lot of fun taping those.
How about that? Let's pick up some more phone lines. We always
But first, let me do it. You're going to log this as a commercial. I'm logging this as personal finance information. So just before the break, I said, you really need to open an account. And I'll have to find out where. So I just decided to go online and look at Wintrust. They have no fees, no ATM fees. When you open an online checking account, no monthly minimum balance, no monthly minimum maintenance fees, and only $100 required to open, and no ATM fees at any place. So if you, because it's important now, people who were called the unbanked, oh, they didn't think banks were fair and they cost a lot of money. Instead, they go to currency exchanges. I know we'll get a yell from them, but they pay a lot to cash their checks. Or they get these debit cards, which are kind of encourage you to spend, because what else are you going to do with them but spend it? So open a free checking account and use that direct deposit information for your stimulus payment, for your tax refund, and you'll use it in the future, and it'll make you a better consumer, too, a more careful shopper. You can use your ATM card as a debit card anywhere. Okay, that's the commercial.
Not a bad one. It's not a commercial. That's just good information. If it does them good, good for everybody.
And Wintrust, our sponsor, has that opportunity. So do that. Okay.
Mark, what's your question with Terry Savage? You're on the air.
Hi, yes. I was wondering, you know, I still haven't received my stimulus payment, and I was just wondering what's going on with it. I did receive the other one we got back in the summertime, but, you know, my gross income is over $75,000. I believe it was like 87 something that what my tax advisor said. But I was just curious because some people have gotten them and my family's gotten them.
Mark, three quick questions. How did you get the first one? Was it a check or was it a direct deposit?
It was actually a direct deposit.
Is that account still open?
Yes.
Were you over the $75,000 limit in your 2019 return?
Yes. I think it was like 87.
Will you be over it when you, Mark, will you be over that $75,000 when you file your 2020 return?
That I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Okay, so here's the deal. If you did not get the stimulus, when you file your 2020 return in a couple of weeks for the year that just ended, we're back to filing them by April, but you could file in January, end of January, February. Claim the stimulus on your tax return on line 30. If it's a little bit over $75,000 in income on a single return, it'll be reduced by $5 for every $100 you earned over $75,000. Don't worry that you didn't get it directly back there. There might have been some concern. I talked to the IRS just a couple days ago. They're trying to get all the money out by the required January 15th. You know they'll never make it, but they're really working at it. So, number one, keep looking. Number two, if you don't see it, file your 2020 return, especially if 2020 income was lower than 2019's, because you'll get a bigger stimulus check.
I hope that helps, Mark. Good question. I think a lot of people are in that boat. This is Tony. You're on WGN. Hi, Tony.
Hi, John. My question is, my wife and I inherited a house quite a few years back, and we decided to rent it for a while. And then we decided we didn't want to be Mr. and Mrs. Roper anymore. Renting is a pain in the butt. Anyhow, so we want to retire soon, and we're just wondering if we should use that money to pay off our house that we're living in, or bank the money and invest it.
Okay, that's hard to give you a specific without knowing a lot more about you, but let me ask you a question. Are you planning to stay in your own current personal residence?
Yes.
And what's your mortgage rate?
Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty good. Somewhere around 4%, something like that, or a little under.
Okay, well, here'd be my suggestion. I don't know the rest, whether you have any other liquid funds, retirement funds, and that's something you want to deal with a financial planner for. But in general, I would pay down all expensive debt, like credit card debt. I would keep a stash of cash for which you're being penalized greatly today, not earning any interest, but it gives you flexibility. And if you go and refinance your current house now, you may not want to refinance it for 30 years, maybe 15 years. And assuming you've got plans for retirement income to cover that and you're planning to stay in the house, that's going to be the cheapest money you're going to get, because for 15 years, it's going to be a little over 2.5%. So it's worth your while to refi. Go to Rocket Mortgage, your guaranteed rate. Don't fool around because rates are rising. This is what's going on right now. I'd refi the current house, pay off any expensive debt, and then number three, keep some cash for savings. Without knowing more specifics, that's my priority list for you.
I think that's a nice laundry list of advice for a lot of people. Thank you, Tony. Good luck to you. In fact, somebody else said, I've got less than 10 years to pay on our house. Should we refi? Is it worth it?
Yeah, if you can save, I mean, if a 10-year mortgage note today, I mean today, and I really mean today, maybe not next week and the next month, is going to be a little over 2.5%. Sure, refi.
Hi, Terry. Go ahead, Terry.
Banks are jerking people around because the banks don't want to get into locking up a lot of money at these low rates. I want you to go, unless you have a great banking relationship. I've heard some stories about delays. I really want you to go to Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage, Guaranteed Rate. These are the companies that are doing a land office business. They're set up to be efficient and get your refi done.
Lots of text messages from listeners who did not get a stimulus. The first time or the second time, they deserve it. They're so frustrated. You say, don't worry, on line 30, you'll be able to at least get a credit for it, maybe a check back in the mail. But they just want to know, why was the screw-up? Why didn't they get their money?
Well, wait. The first time around was based on your old tax returns, et cetera, et cetera. If you didn't get the $1,200 stimulus, a lifetime ago when they first came out, not even a year, but a lifetime ago. It's really only 9 months. And based on, just stop thinking about the past, based on the 2020 return that you're about to file in the next few weeks, if you are single earning under $75,000, joint return under $150,000, you are not declared as a dependent on someone else's return, and you contribute at least half of your own support. So if you're a college kid but you're working, you can file a 2020 return. Even if you didn't have enough income to be required to file, you will file. And on line 30, you'll say, I didn't get my stimulus, the first one, for $1,200. And I didn't get my stimulus, the second one. Don't worry about why they're messed up or why their systems are messed up. The IRS never messes up. I mean, like 99.9% of the time. It never messes up dealing with your income tax return. And so they try to shoot the money out the door, trying desperately, and they're doing a great job of getting it out the door by January 15th. But that's the moment. When you haven't gotten it by the end of January, you go, okay, they missed me. I don't know why. I'm not going to yell at them. I'm going to file for credit on line 30 on my 2020 return, which you're going to file in like 2 or 3 weeks.
I'll pick up another phone line. This is Kathy on line one. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Kathy.
Good afternoon, Terry. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I've been on unemployment, but if I've gone in for 1 hour and got paid for it, do I have to tell unemployment about that?
Well, more than a few people have said that to me, or have told me their experiences. They've been chugging along on unemployment. The company called a meeting, and the meeting was about going back to work. And then they paid you, whatever it was, $82, less taxes. Do you have to report that? According to the law, you have to report any income. I can tell you as a fact, it's the likelihood of it messing up your entire unemployment picture is huge. The likelihood of you being able to straighten it out and get through them and say, oh, this is 1 hour and it was because of that, is like next to nothing. And I don't know what to say out loud online on radio. I can't advise you to break the law. But what I will suggest is that if you got that 1 hour payment, call the boss and say, please rescind that. Take that back. It's going to screw up my whole life, because it will.
Okay, I have done that, and my company will not do that. So I'm going to mess,
right? Tell them I said that's being vicious. Was it in 2020 or just so far this year?
It will be both.
We're out of time for this half hour. I understand the position this person is in. Terry, though,
yeah.
If you didn't report it, doesn't it catch up with you anyway? The company reports your income, so won't the IRS find out?
It's not the IRS. It's the Illinois Unemployment Department.
Oh.
It's the Unemployment Department that's going to say, wait, you went back to work. Stop everything. Refile, re-register, recertify, and then you can't, and you can't get your PIN through. It just, it's because they're so messed up. So I don't quite know what to say to you. I hope you hear the heart beating behind my words. It would be illegal not to report income from your employer. But I know for a fact it's going to mess you up with unemployment, and it'll cost you agony and weeks, and you won't be able to get through to them.
For an hour or two of work. Well, okay, good luck to you, Kathy. I'm sorry to hear about that. Terry takes more of your questions. She's got more answers coming up on WGN. Terry Savage joins us on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're produced by Pete Zimmerman. This is John Williams. A lot of you are texting in today, 312-981-7200. Terry, I know you touched on this, but just give us a quick address again. 630 said, please ask Terry to address the 18, 19, 20-year-olds that are, in fact, still dependents. Will they finally be recognized? What's the answer to that?
Look, yes and no is the answer. If your child is 18, 19, or 20, and you contribute 92% of his or her support, then they are dependents, and they do not get a $600 check under this bill. If, however, 2 years ago when they looked at you and your 19-year-old was a dependent, and in the last year, in 2020, he or she became independent, graduated college, had a job, enough income so that and a scholarship, enough income or so that he could legitimately say, oh, I contributed at least half of my own support. Then that 19 or 20-year-old or 21-year-old or somebody who graduated and went to work will file his or her own tax return, even if it wasn't a lot of income, not even enough to be required to file. He can legitimately say he contributed more than half of his own support. Then he or she will file and claim the $600 credit. On line 30, I'll make it very clear. Yeah, everybody wants a stimulus credit, and you want your kids to get it. Don't fool around with the IRS and say, well, Billy earned $312 this summer mowing lawns. That's not 50% of his support. But it's a time to take a look. Ditto, by the way, your mother-in-law lives in your, you know, the mother-in-law apartment in your house or lives in the guest bedroom, but also gets Social Security. So you always, it was easy for you to declare her as a dependent. Let her file her own return in 2020. Her Social Security benefits may be so meager that it's not enough for her to be required to pay taxes. But let her file her own return anyway. She will get an independent $600. And if she files now, she can also file for the refund going back to the last one of $1,200. So that's for an older person who has income, not a lot, but enough income to say, yeah, half of mine, I'm independent.
Yeah, I got that. What about this? I heard this over the weekend on this radio station. I received an economic impact card. Is this legitimate or a scam? It's a Visa card to be activated and said to come from the U.S. Treasury.
Well, the U.S. Treasury is sending out cards. And I'm just trying to quickly find the...
That's a funny way to put it, but I've heard that. Economic impact card.
Impact. Well, that's exactly what it's supposed to be. But without seeing that, it should come in a plain white envelope from the Treasury Department, and it can't hurt you to activate that. You should find $600 on there. That many stimulus payments are being made on cards.
That's
for
what
those,
I know.
Especially for people who are lower income or get SSI or SSI, they get those cards.
What about Ray's question? You're on WGN, Ray. How can we help you? You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Terry and John. I've got $75,000 in a savings account in the bank getting absolutely no interest. I'm contemplating moving that money to a federal credit union where it pays 0.25. Good idea, bad idea, and what do you think of credit unions, Terry?
I think credit unions are fine. They have their own national insurance agency. Not all credit unions are insured by CUNA Mutual, so you want to check out. And I don't think this is going to be an issue. I don't think credit unions are going under any more than I think we're going to have bank failures. But you want to make sure that it is an insured credit union. And, you know, when you think about the amount of money for 20 basis points, if you're out of the account for a week, you could probably, you know, while you do the transfer, it probably won't pay off anyway. There's a great service called MaxMyInterest.com. MaxMyInterest.com. And I typically think of this for people with over $100,000 to move around, where they don't take your money, but they lead you to online bank, federally insured banks that will pay you a higher rate because they don't have bricks and mortar. So MaxMyInterest.com, but not for $15,000 or $22,000 or even $75,000. The time it takes to move it, you lose the extra interest.
Cool. Thank you so much, Terry.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. Lots of text messages today from people who go to terrysavage.com and have got helpful advice because they were victims of fraud through IDES. And a lot of people are asking the question that Mary has. Mary, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Mary?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My elderly mother files every year. She doesn't get a refund, so I never set up a account for her to get money back because she never gets that back. She did get the last $1,200 stimulus in a paper check, and she has a P.O. box. When I went on the Get My Payment site on the IRS.gov, it kicked out her Social Security number. And then I got locked out because I did it three times. Do you anticipate that check should come the same way that it came last time and I just need to be more patient?
Probably not. Probably it's going to, they're really trying to get direct deposit first, but they are mailing out checks. My question is, does she get Social Security?
Yes.
Why didn't her last payment, stimulus payment come directly the way she get? Does her Social Security get direct deposited anywhere?
Yes.
Where? To a bank?
But it came to her P.O. box. Her mailing address is a P.O. box.
No, but it doesn't get directly. But her Social Security every month, where does that go?
To her bank account.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Hold on. Does she get a paper check that she deposits, or is it directly electronic?
Social Security doesn't pay that way anymore.
Oh.
Right, yeah. Social Security doesn't send you a paper check anymore. You have to have
You should be looking in her direct deposit bank account for this.
Okay, and I'll do that, but I was just wondering, why would they do it that way this time, and they didn't do it that way the last time?
Wait. Don't ask. Don't even ask.
Okay, I guess it's a dumb question. Okay, sorry.
Dollars. Here's the key point.
Okay.
Be looking for the direct deposit. Be watching for a check. And if not, she must file a tax return this year. And she must claim the credit for the $600. But wait. She can wait a few weeks. You're taking care of her. So wait till February 15th. If no sign of a stimulus check, either paper or a card or a direct deposit into Social Security, if it's not there by February 15th, file a tax return for her. It'll say, I get, you know, a little bit of income, maybe $1,000 a month, $12,000, $13,000 a year from Social Security. But I didn't get my stimulus check for $600. Go to line 30 and say, get me my $600. And that's how you will get paid.
I knew you were going to say go to line 30. I couldn't wait for you to say
that. I
told
you line 30. I want to, you know, etch it in gold.
All right, Mary, I hope that helps. I think that does help a lot of people. Be patient and don't wonder the why. Just figure out how to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. This I have one piece of advice is, this time the IRS has it nailed. So you're going to get your stimulus check, the $600 one and the original one if you qualify based on your 2020 return. All you have to do is file your tax return. The IRS really knows how to process tax returns. And it really knows how to cross-check what it sent out. So that caught them by surprise last year. They're not doing things the same way for the second round of stimulus check. They've made it clear. Don't worry about the Get My Payment tool. Don't worry about anything. If you have not gotten your stimulus by, say, I'm going to make it up, February 15th, because they say they're trying to get them all out by January 15th this week. If you haven't gotten it in 4 weeks, one way or the other, file your tax return, even if you wouldn't think of filing a tax return because you don't make a lot of money.
Judged one of the 10 best in the country. That's Terry Savage. Visit TerrySavage.com for more information. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday, Terry.
Love it on Wednesdays. Thanks, John.
That's our new slogan. It's line 30. That's our new slogan. It's 1244. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. More news now from Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Amazon's building a last-mile delivery station in West Suburban Broadview. The company plans to hire hundreds of people to work there. The site is at 2800 South 25th Avenue. Amazon will add the warehouse to a local distribution network that's been expanding rapidly over the past year as the company increases its penetration of major metro areas like Chicago and the suburbs and tries to speed up deliveries. Healthy food startup Farmer's Fridge has started selling some of its menu items at three Chicago Dunkin' stores as part of a pilot program with the donut and coffee chain. Crane says three New Jersey locations are also included in the test as the Chicago-based company looks to expand its business. Farmer's Fridge sells healthy pre-made meals and snacks from vending machines. It started delivering menu items directly to consumers' homes during the pandemic, and Farmer's Fridge plans to launch additional partnerships with retailers and quick-service restaurants later this year. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
WGN Radio News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom comes your way in about 8 minutes. Let's spend a little of that time with Dr. Jennifer Weiss, founder of Cubbington's Cabinet. Visit Cubbington's.com. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
CBD, is that what you all sell?
It sure is. We sell CBD for people and pets.
Yeah, it's funny because I have a dog and we give her CBD biscuits sometimes.
And how has it changed her life?
I don't know, to be honest with you. Sometimes we give them to her before we go to bed in the evening. Sometimes we use it as a snack. I don't want to talk a lot about my dog, but she sure seems to like them. I'll say that.
Well, good. All right. So that's actually why we got into CBD, was because of our dogs.
Oh, no kidding. But, yeah, your store, Cubbington's Cabinet in Roscoe Village, is a kind of boutique apothecary, right? You sell not just for animals but for human beings as well?
That's right. So the shop itself is modeled after a Victorian-inspired apothecary. And I would say we're probably at least 75% now products for humans, and then some really carefully curated products for pets.
CBD, how are people primarily using that?
That's a big question. So I'll start out by saying that what's exciting about CBD is that it's the non-intoxicating cousin of THC. And THC is what gets people high. And there's been some really interesting research about its many potential beneficial health benefits. And so a lot of people are taking CBD for anxiety and depression, insomnia. A lot of people take it for pain management and definitely for inflammation.
I use it as a pain manager, as a topical ointment. And I think it works terrific. Somebody sent me some and I've been using it and I thought, all right, we'll see. I think it really does make a difference. I don't know how much of that is my convincing myself,
right,
or it actually doing it. What's your thought when people ask that question?
Well, it's an important question to ask. The reason that I decided to start Cubbington's Cabinet was because we realized that the product we were buying for our dog, it was differing on subsequent purchases of the same product, so it wasn't consistent. And I started researching this, this new CBD that was all the rage, and learned that there's very little regulation, and there's a lot of issues with quality, with accuracy of labeling, mm-hmm. And so a lot of it depends on on what's in that actual bottle, and are you actually getting what you think you are? So, you know, there is a risk that you know, what people are experiencing is a placebo effect. There's also, you know, if you're lucky, you've got the good stuff in the right bottle. But that's why we set out to create a really good, responsible, very carefully researched company that makes sure that the products we sell people can trust.
Dr. Jennifer Weiss is on a phone line from Cubbington's Cabinet. Cubbington's.com is the website there in Roscoe Village. We have just a minute left. Has your business been experiencing the same growth that marijuana shops have been experiencing?
Yeah, so they call it the Wild West in CBD. There's a lot of money to be had, so there's a lot of players, especially, believe it or not, big chemical and venture capitalists are making a lot of money. There are a lot of small companies also starting out. There's a lot of money to be had, but that's also part of why it's so important to be careful with what you're buying.
I know that's one of the reasons you founded the store. You are a doctor. What's your doctorate in?
I have a PhD in psychology.
The store is in Roscoe Village. It's called Cubbington's Cabinet, and the website is Cubbington's.com. Dr. Weiss, out of time today, but I know this is a conversation we could have every day. Let's visit again down the road.
Oh, thanks, and I wish you and your listeners good health and wellness in the coming year.